Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and Living Local. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and I'd like to introduce our host of Business Talk. He's the editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here's George O'Brien.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Business Talk. We have a great show for you today. I'm very excited about this one. As you probably know, we have been doing a series of shows on the Business West's 40 Under 40 class of 2021. We started a few weeks ago. We'll probably do a few more of these. It is my honor and privilege to have as our guest today, Christopher Howland. He is the Director of Procurement, Logistics, and Special Projects for Auxiliary Enterprises at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, my alma mater. His presence on the show today. First of all, Chris, welcome and congratulations on 40 Under 40.
Hey, thanks so much. It's truly an honor, and I'm really humbled by the recognition. It's really a reflection of our great team up here at UMass. But it's certainly a great honor, and thank you for asking me to join you this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you on. We're going to talk a lot about what you do, and UMass Dining. This is a great story. It gives us a chance to talk about honored program at the university. You guys have won awards for the last several years, and we really want to talk about that. But I guess I want to start by saying, why couldn't you guys have been the top dining program in the country when I was at UMass back in the mid-70s? There was a lot of mystery meat back in 1975, I got to tell you. A lot of tuna fish sandwiches and things of that nature. We did not have the top dining program in the country. How many years running is it now?
So it's 5 years.
5 years running. My goodness.
Yeah, but we've been in the top 10 for I can't even remember how many times. It's really remarkable what we've been able to do year after year, and I'm really thrilled to be part of the team that brings that experience to our students.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Tell us first of all what you do. I mean, Director of Procurement, Logistics, and Special Projects. That sounds like a lot. There's a lot to that title, and I'm sure there's a lot to the job description as well.
Absolutely. So I oversee all procurement logistics functions for auxiliary enterprises. So auxiliary is like the umbrella group on campus, and we oversee dining, conference services, the hotel, the UMass store, trademark and licensing. So I'm responsible for most of the procurement that happens under that umbrella, including the logistics. So we also have about a 10,000 square foot warehouse that I don't think many people know that on campus. So that's dry storage and also a freezer space and some cold storage. We have a team that takes things from the warehouse and brings them throughout campus. And, you know, even sometimes to, the Mount Ida campus, which we also oversee the food service there. And So it's a tremendous job. It's not just food. It's everything. Anything that you see in a dining commons, whether it's utensils, plates, uniforms, building supplies for our maintenance and janitorial teams, that all comes through my department. I have a great team that really expedites a lot of these things, including a lot of services. So we work with a lot of great service teams that help us get through the year.
And you get to deal in big numbers too. When you buy milk, it's not a few gallons. When you
it's
not a few pounds. So throw some of those numbers at us.
Sure. So overall, we're spending about $30 million a year on pre-COVID terms, right? So we're going to get back up to those numbers in this fall. We have large contracts out there with both large, small, medium size companies. It really takes a village to be able to do a lot of things that we do. But, I'm pretty proud that, we're able to focus, our commitments on local as well. So we do a lot with local dairy. If you come into our dining commons, we have these bulk milk dispensers. I call them silver cows. They serve, 5 gallon. They're bag in a box containers. And those come right out of Hadley, out of Maple Line. And those come, a few times a week. And it's a fun story there. And you kind of hit upon the story when you wrote up my little bio for the 40 Under 40 piece. But In a previous life, I was an animal science major, and I had aspirations to become a vet at one time. And, you know, part of the coursework was to visit these farms and take a look at a, you know, real, you know, running dairy or real running meat herd. And so we would often go to Maple Line and talk with the owners and take a look at the operations from, you know, calving to milking to, you know, how they deliver milk. So I just have these vivid memories of going down there and taking a look at the farms. And it's really a pleasure to be able to be on the other side of that and actually buy that milk and be able to share that with students on campus. And I'll tell you what, part of the tours on campus, whenever I do those, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to do a few tours a year. And I always point out the chocolate milk because it's probably the best chocolate milk you will ever have. It is so creamy. It's so delicious. And that has to do with the type of cow that they actually milk. It's a Jersey cow. So it has higher milk proteins. It's a richer mouthfeel. A lot of the coffee shops around the area use that type of milk. So, you know, we want to make sure that we give the best to our students and that we also are able to support, the local economy when we can.
Okay. Let's talk at length about what goes into a top ranked food service, dining service that we have at UMass. There's been a general improvement in the food service at colleges across the country. This is a big part of the ongoing arms race with the schools now. They're all investing money in this new dining commons, new and better dining services. But UMass still manages to stay at the top of the crowd. How do we do it? What separates a good program from a great one? And then what separates a great program from the best one in the country?
Sure. So, you know, I think you have to take a look, you know, a journey back to 1998, when really this transformation, you know, had its genesis. And, you know, I'm sure we all know, you know, Ken, my boss, Ken Toome, you know, he came to UMass and one of the things that he was asked to do was to improve the dining program. You know, that's, there's always a fun story that I tell and, you know, that I heard, you know, that Ken shares sometimes. And when his boss, Ashok, you know, brought him in, I believe Ken was actually the last person to be interviewed. So they went over, you know, what they needed to do. And Ken was really jazzed up, really has a lot of great ideas. So, you know, he got the job and, you know, he was doing some research on the program. He was looking at the Princeton Review. And there's two lists, right? So there's the best campus food, right, which chronicles and shows you the top dining programs in the nation, but also shows you the other side. And that list is called Is It Food, right? So that's a list that you don't want to be part of, right? Because it shows you what students believe is the, you know, the worst dining programs in the country. So Ken was looking down, he was very surprised, you know, just make sure this was in 1998, to see that UMass was in the Is It Food list. And Ken, you know, brought to Ashok's attention, like, you know, Ashok, there's like, look at, we're on this list, you know, for the wrong reasons. And Ashok, you know, look back again, said, that's why I brought you in, now fix it. And you know, since then, you know, Ken just, you know, his one goal when he came here to campus was to have the best dining program in America and to keep the best dining program in America. And I think he's been able to do that. So, you know, he had the vision, but you also have to have a complement team to be able to execute that vision. So, you know, one of the things that he did was he shaped his team. So he brought people in that bought into that vision, that understood the demands of a program, the consistencies that you have to have day after day, year after year. And over time, he was able to bring a team together that understood what he was looking for, what the goals were. They all had those shared goals. Then you kind of saw a little bit of changes, right? So then the administration understood Ken's vision and allowed some of these renovations to take place. You know, I think the first major renovation was Berkshire Dining Commons back in 2006. And that was kind of like the point where other people started to notice the change. It's a game of inches, you know, incremental improvement. So every day, every year, he looks at things to improve day after day. And he's instilled that in all of us. You know, whenever I go into an operation, you know, he's trained us. You know, I'm not an operations person per se, but when I go into an operation, you know, I'm able to kind of see things that maybe are a little out of line, things that need to be corrected, you know, and that's what kind of keeps you at the top. You know, the focus on excellence, the focus on students, the focus on student success the focus on listening to students, listening to customers, listening to parents, not only listening, but in acting on the comments that you hear every day. And also you have to keep humble. You know, you have to realize that, okay, we are a very great program, but you know, we're not perfect. You know, and we have to make sure that every day we're fixing things left and right. Well, not a lot, but just tweaking things to make sure that we're having that consistency, you know.
Can we get a few examples of this?
Let's take a look at one of the things that I always I think this is fun. So sushi rolls, right? So
here we go.
This, you know, 10 years ago, it's actually probably longer now, you know, Ken kind of had the foresight on sushi, saying, okay, you know, sushi is really hot. Students, we need to serve sushi. Students are going to love sushi. And people are thinking, sushi in New England, get out of here, right? But I'll tell you what, sushi is like one of our top items in the dining commons. You know, during you know, times when we're in full business, we're doing about 4,000 rolls a day. And it's just incredible. And this is, it's consistent. Like, it never stops. We actually have a really great sushi restaurant over in the Blue Wall called Wasabi. They do other things. They do salmon tuna bowls. But, you know, we also are able to serve some really great, very authentic sushi rolls over there. And it just, you know, just the ability to be able to serve sushi in a college environment. Like when you were in here and you saw sushi, I'm not sure when you were going to the university, you probably wouldn't maybe eat it back in the day.
Well, that was 1975. I don't think anybody would have eaten sushi in 1975. Last time I was on campus, I had lobster mac and cheese. We didn't have lobster mac and cheese in 1975 either, I can tell you that.
the other thing too is, so lobsters, right? So take, for instance, this year, right? So because of COVID, we weren't able to do our traditional Halloween special where we serve lobster and steak to our students just because of the logistics involved and in the regulations around what you could do for events. But now in May, when the restrictions were a little bit more loose and we were able to do more things, you know, we had an idea. It's like, okay, let's give our students, you know, a memorable experience. This is kind of part of our plan to give students many experiences throughout, you know, the end of the semester. But, you know, the lobsters, that's what seniors really wanted. So we were able to coordinate with the university, and we had a plan where they actually registered to be able to eat with us. And it was actually a very nice send off for students. And I was really glad that we were able to do it. And hopefully students will remember that for years to come. And, you know, when they have, you know, children, they'll send them to UMass and it'll just be, you know, a whole nother generation of folks coming back to Amherst.
What's the chancellor's famous line? Come for the food, stay for the education.
Absolutely. The chancellor's been a very big supporter of us. And, you know, of all the chancellors I've had a privilege of knowing and talking with, you know, he's just a very down to earth person, very easy to connect with. And he really cares about you. He cares about everybody. And it's just, you know, been a breath of fresh air to have, you know, a person like that lead UMass for all these years, and really have the support of him and the backing of not just him, but the whole administration. It's really been great. And they've been very supportive of the things that we've been able to do to really give back to the community and give to our students.
On the practical side of things, just how important is a food service to a university like this? I hate going back to 1975, but the food service, you know, wasn't even a consideration. I mean, you know, what are the programs? How much does it cost? What's the living like? How good are the parties? You know, those were the things that people took into consideration back in 1975, but it's different now in 2021. Food's a big deal, but just how important is it for a university to have a food service like this?
Oh, sure. It's a very big deal. And in fact, we've gauged this on a lot of our surveys that we send out, and we found that all things being equal, you know, having a very good food service, you know, dining program on campus really attracts top students. You know, if you take a look at two universities, you know, say UMass and another university of similar ranking, and then you take a look at, you know, food service, you know, our food service is better than their food service or dining, you know, their students are going to come to UMass. You know, our marketing team does a great job about telling our story, not just to parents, to faculty, But to students themselves, you know, they are on the same type of media channels that students are on. You know, and it's kind of funny throughout the years, you know, Facebook used to be the social media, you know, standard. And now that's really what parents go for information. And students really kind of take a look at, you know, your TikToks and your Instagrams. But our marketing team has, you know, their finger on the pulse of the channels and who to talk to. But yeah, it's very important to be able to serve not only our domestic students, but also our international students. International cuisine is huge on campus. And it's also important that we get it right, because we have students from all over the world. So if we say a particular cuisine is what it is, and it's not, our students are going to tell us. You know, we have to be confident with how we market the meals and making sure that they're just as authentic as if you go to, say, you know, India or China or Japan or any other, you know, Mediterranean country. You know, if we say that this is an authentic dish, it needs to be, because we have a lot of students from those areas and they will tell us if it's not. So, we're really just, you know, we're fortunate to be able to have a really great culinary team that can really execute all these different cuisines at a very high level.
I was amazed by the number of choices that, you know, when I got the tour, I visited Ken and some other members of your team a few years ago, and just the sheer number of choices just for lunch was just off the charts. There's different stations and you know, like I said, 1975, there were no choices at all. This is just an amazing development that you guys have been able to put together. So, and you keep it in the news too. You do those events every year, the largest stir fry, the largest fish stew, root salad, clam bake. I imagine there was none of that during COVID, but you're probably looking forward to getting back to that this fall.
How do things look? Absolutely. We're looking to, you know, give our students a really great welcoming experience, both for students that have never been on campus, and then for students that were back during COVID, and then students that weren't back for COVID, right? So there's, you know, a few different types of students that will be going back and forth with and engaging with in the beginning of the year. But the one thing that we definitely want to do is just, you know, remind them and show them why they picked UMass, you know, that, you know, UMass Dining, UMass Amherst is a place that they chose because of all these great experiences that we're going to be giving to them. So, you know, we're looking at those events right now, trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen. I know that we're going to be coming back before Labor Day this year. Usually it's after Labor Day, so we'll be starting a little bit earlier. So, yeah, we're working out those plans for as normal a fall as you can imagine. So we're all very excited. Our team's very excited. I know the campus is excited to really get back to where we were back, you know, pre-pandemic.
What was the pandemic like? The dining, I mean, most of the on-campus facilities were closed, and the dining commons must have been different as well. A totally different kind of year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and the strange thing was, like, we didn't know what to expect, right? I think if you go back to, say, March of 2020, you know, before spring break, you know, we obviously knew that this was going to be serious, but we didn't know how serious. And we didn't know, okay, is this going to be a 6-week thing? Is this going to be a 3-week thing? Is it going to be, you know, a 3-month thing? You know, so, you know, it was really hard to kind of plan and gauge what we had to do. So, you know, we try to do the best we can. And then obviously after spring break, you know, the decisions were made to close and to send students home. But, you know, there still were students that couldn't get home that needed a place. So we were able to keep a few areas open, really service our customers, our students that needed us to give them an experience as best we could. And then, you know, the summer was kind of weird too, because everyone saw the news. They saw what, you know, how it was, you know, numbers were increasing, and it was kind of a scary time. So the fall was a lot different. You know, I think we only had maybe 1,000 students on the meal plan, which is very different. I mean, usually we're around 28, or rather 25,000 when you look at grad and undergrad plus faculty and staff. So 1,000 is like very, very different. And it was somewhat challenging sometimes from when you're going a million miles an hour to basically going to a standstill. You know, it's when you're dealing with large numbers every day, it's really easy to order after doing it a long time. But cutting that way back was definitely a challenge in learning, you know, okay, now we have to be very careful about what we bring in, because we don't want to overorder and have things, in our inventory that we can't use. So we were able to work with our vendors and with our partners, especially with our local vendors. You know, that was the toughest, because we couldn't bring in as much as we could before. We just made sure that the communication was very clear and that we kept updates with them all the time, just letting them know like what to expect. And then the spring was a lot better, you know. I think there was about 5,000, a little bit more on campus. We were doing probably between 8,000 to 10,000 meals per day. We had more of our operations open, both for residential and for retail. We're still not at 100%, right? So I think we might have been at 25% or 30%. But moving forward to fall 2021, we're looking to be close to 100% as much as possible.
Great. Well, I hope it's a great year for you. When does the Princeton review come up again?
So it's August, and end of July. August is when they're going to be making that decision. One last thing, we are doing our chef conference again this year. It's going to be virtual, and it is actually free to everyone to register. It's at www.chefculinaryconference.com. So feel free to register. We have a really great, robust 3 days. They're about 5 to 6 hours of content. We actually have the editor-in-chief, Rob Franek. He's going to be doing a session with incoming high school seniors. So they'll be freshmen in college in the fall. So he'll be talking with them about their expectations and how they went through COVID and all that great stuff. So that's just one of the great sessions. So hopefully folks can register and attend at least one or two of those exciting events that we'll be having.
Okay. Chris, it's been great to have you on. Continued good luck to all you people up there. Congratulations on 40 under 40. We'll see you in September, if not before then, at the gala. So again, congratulations for everything that's going on up there, and keep up the good work.
Well, thanks so much, and I really look forward to the event, and thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, and thank you to all of you for tuning in. We will see you next time on Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West Magazine. We'd be happy to have you with us, and we'll see you next time.